Hello, good evening. Hello if you're driving. Hello if you're listening at home. Hello if you're serving a custodial sentence and you just want to go home. And hello if you're a cowboy with a transistor radio in one hand and the reins of a barking bronco in the other, in a late night rodeo, yeah.
This is Radio 4 and you're listening to Hearing with Hegley.
The morning I started out for infant school, my older brother told me to remember that girls never prosper. I don't know where he got this motto, nor did I understand its meaning, but because he was my example, I repeated the words to everyone I met, and I did not get a girlfriend until I was 27. But I got a boyfriend when I was 16, so I was all right. This is one about my sister. Once, when I wanted all my sister's sweets, I pretended to be a hungry dog. And each time she dropped one on the floor, I amused her with my comical scavenging. And when all her sweets had gone, I stopped and got on with my own, taking no interest in the hungry dog that looked very much like my sister. Some pretty heavy stuff in here. This is one about school. It's called Knack. We used to have a teacher in our school whom we called Neck. We called him Neck because he had such a long neck. He also had big sprigs of hair which came sprouting out of his nose, but we weren't interested in those. We were too keen on his neck. We'd never seen such a neck. It was a heck of a neck. A couple of poems about my brother-in-law. And the first one is called, I wouldn't say my brother-in-law was fat because he's quite thin. He isn't beautiful. He's horrible. He eats crisps in the cinema as a matter of principle. If he does you a favour, then you know that you're in debt. If you want someone to help you out, he's a very outside bet. If you were in a lifeboat and someone had to go and my brother-in-law was there, you wouldn't exactly need a ballot. He's 10 stone in his pyjamas and that's 10 stone overweight. He's not exactly an artist, but they should hang him in the Tate. In a previous incarnation, he was a beer crate, and whatever age he dies at will be far too late. I don't like him. Ah, right, so you only clap the negative stuff, right. This is called Sister. Sister, you are an alchemist. Base metals into gold you cannot do, but I have seen you turn boredom into joy and make toys from the rubbish. Sister, you are an alchemist, but you have not done a very good job with your husband. The man in the street. The other day I met a bloke lying on the pavement. He'd just had a stroke, and I thought a man in his position might appreciate a joke. So I said, stand back, please, I'm a comedian. Back to school again for this one, in class. By chance, I glance at her answer paper. Protective of her labour, my next-door neighbour drops an accusing karate chop across the page top to stop me from copying as she writes her name. Christmas. There came 3 wise men from the east, and so it came to pass the wise men found the shepherds a bit working class. Christmas with the brother-in-law. In brackets, oh what fun. The 2 clip-on earrings slip from our Christmas cracker. You can have them, John. My brother-in-law quips. I slip into the earrings. How do I look then? Handsome. I lie to him. All right, John, very sexy. Tie them on with you. Just tie them on, all right? Maybe with my wife. I've got my wife here, right? You do that to me, mate, right? You don't do that when I'm with my wife. I'm with my wife. I have a kid now, all right? You don't do that.
喂，你打我，你打我，你打我，喂，打我，你打你打我，你打我。He says, trying to sound normal. In his torn Christmas hat that is sat around his neck. You're not a woman, he reminds me. How do you explain these then, I reply, ripping open my shirt and squirting my nipples at him? Shall I take these off too? Shall I cut them through? Get rid of that half of my sexuality. You're terrified, old man. You're scared of it. Don't spoil the Christmas, John, my mother interrupts. It's about my granddad. Granddad's got new dentures. It's great to see him grin. He got them in a jumble sale, and now he's got them in. His pocket. A Bradford curry house. It was a flurry of a curry house. The lighting was fluorescent and as startling as the smell. The waiters had white jackets on and other clothes as well. Cutlery was by request for anybody new. We made asbestos finger jokes and ate our vindaloo. It was when I was a student and it added to the spice. My mum thought it imprudent, but she couldn't fault the price. Down the paradise in Bradford, up in Yorkshire. A bloke once sat beside me and said, "Is it any good?" He told me he could eat a horse and probably he would. I pretended not to hear him, but he kept on being rude and he blew his nose on my chapati. And it was difficult to ignore. And it was my brother-in-law. Okay, this one is called A Spelling of Spuds. And it takes the word spuds letter by letter and uses each letter to begin a word or phrase to help you understand spuds a bit better. S, seldom buried with their glasses. P, pebbles that are edible. U, now this is where you get an opportunity to join in describing spuds with beginning with U. Any ideas?
Underground.
Underground, it's close actually. It's underground and roundish and larger than the reddish radish. They are found in rows, but not like those in the cinema. I didn't think you'd get the whole thing, but good try. Okay, now my D is Doug, not dog, which I'm not particularly proud of, and I just wondered if anybody had anything that might be substituted as an improvement. Describing spuds begin with B. Any ideas? So you can't be wrong here, because...
Dirty.
You can be wrong, actually. any improvement on dirty?
Dead.
Dead, that's quite nice. Quite nice, yeah. Any other Ds?
Delicious.
Delicious, and what was the other one? Two people getting together there in a really lovely way. And the other one?
Dinner.
Dinner, that's the winner tonight. Well done there. And S, severely disappointing as pets. But you don't have to legislate against pit bull potatoes. And this is called A Dog and a Pigeon. In a shocking flurry of feathers, a seemingly pleasant dog attacked a pigeon in the park. The badly shaken owner tethered the attacker, who began to bark. "If that dog can kill," I said, "you should let it finish the job." "No, no," said another witness. "It's not our job to interfere with nature." The owner looked. The pigeon bled. "It's your dog, your decision," I said. "I'll let him go," says the owner. "And then it's up to Fred." So Fred is freed and the bleeding bird is shaken and left, but still not dead. "It's even worse now," the owner whimpers. "A brick on the head, then," I say. "I can't," says the owner, beginning to weep. "Can you? Can you do it?" Then my brother-in-law comes over. With half a paving stone. "I'll do it," he says. "For 10 quid. This is one about my father and myself. In childhood. My dad had come along to watch me the day I came last in the Cub Scout sack race. The day my glasses fell off onto the running track and somebody behind me deliberately hopped on top of them and damaged them really badly. I was that struggling runt at the back, laughed at by everyone, everyone except my dad. And not because he had another beating in mind, oh no. But because he felt for me. And when he came to find me and I was melting with tears, he said, "You're the one they'll remember in the years to come, son. You were very funny." And he took me to the shop and he ordered me some pop and we halved the humiliation when he didn't have the money. How I remember the old scout master. Nobody could start a campfire faster. I can see the old scout master in the old scout hut, saying, "Always carry a blaster in case you cut yourself. If it doesn't happen to you, it could happen to your dog. You could be chopping up the firewood when you mistake him for a log. Prepare for a disaster, it may happen any day. The old scout master used to say, if it's a friend you need a friend indeed, you need a plaster. You need your money and your keys, but more than these, you need a plaster."
Hit it, Andrew! Hit it!
Always carry a blaster, our scoutmaster told us. They stay on when you're swimming, they're a minimum of fuss. So he always carried a blaster to set an example to us. They found one in his pocket
the day a bus ran over him.
Ging gang, gooly, 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 watch it.
Beep, beep, be prepared. So the old scoutmaster, we lost him as he crossed the road.
He remembered his blaster, but he forgot his highway code. He could have done with a blaster, he could have done with a lorry load. Always carry a blaster, give your wounds a chance to breathe. You never know when some bastard is gonna come at you with a meat cleaver.
And if it doesn't happen to your dog, it could happen to your glasses. They could be knocked to the floor by the long arm of the law when you're standing on the corner and a copper on a push bike signalling a left turn passes by. Well, thank you very much indeed for coming along, for listening and for tuning in. If you have been tuning in, you have been watching and listening to Keith Moore, Susan Norton, Andrew Bailey and Nigel. Yeah!